So, well, guys, it's good to be here. We made it through the rain. We made it through a tornado. Being touched down in a couple places. So I hope everyone slept well. And, you know, we're just going to continue to worship the Lord and open up His Word. And then I'm looking forward to hanging out with you guys after this. I mean, so we're going to eat. Then we're going to sit in a meeting. And then we're going to eat again. Is that what I'm hearing? At 12 o'clock?
More or less, yeah.
All right, man. We are going to have to work out today, right, guys? Because we're going to have to get some exercise in here somewhere, walking around the lake doing something. But I'm sure we're going to have some fun. And really, guys, if you don't have anything to do with the young people, like I'm here to volunteer. You know, so teenagers, I'm with you guys. Let's do something crazy, right? Let's go out, have some fun. You know? I don't know what you do at Lake Cronus, but it sure would be fun. I got up this morning, and it's a beautiful morning. Went out by the lake, just turned on a couple worship songs, was out there on my phone, worshiping, just looking over the lake. I thought, man, this is just absolutely beautiful. So I took some pictures, sent them to my wife, said, I wish you were here. And she saw those pictures and said, I wish I was too. And just beautiful. It's going to be a great day, it looks like. I'm looking forward to it. Then we have some folks in the church from Minnesota. And so I text them the pictures. They're from Hinckley. And so I don't know where Hinckley is. Tom said it's somewhere up north. And but he is a farmer. Was a farmer. His parents owned a farm up in that area. But he teaches now at the University of Florida. And so they've been a part of Abundant Grace here for the past couple years. And so I texted them the pictures, and they were just, and she's just like, hey, you can actually swim in that lake and not worry about alligators. But you can't do that in Florida, okay? Because wherever there's water, there is an alligator in it in Florida, okay? You could just bank on it. So you don't have to worry about it. But they're harmless, and they won't get you too bad. But, you know, we paddleboard and we swim in the lakes and we do different things. Just don't have your dog around. I mean, they just love dogs. They do. They do. It tastes like chicken, man. There's just something about a barking animal that they just, I mean, they will literally come on your back patio and get your dog. So that's where they cause big trouble. Most of the time, they're harmless. You know, they're no big deal. So, that's great, but so should be fun. So I can swim in the lake today and not have to worry about alligators. I feel better now. All right, if you have your Bibles, open up to John chapter 16. We're going to continue building, as I mentioned last night, on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, when you get into and talk a little bit about the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit, there are just some, you know, things that I think some misconceptions, just what is God trying to do in that, and sometimes I think the Holy Spirit gets a bad rap on a number of things. But the goal for this weekend is not only to make us more aware about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, but also to ask God to continually stir up in us just this desire for more of Him. You know, because as I mentioned last night, we can so easily become familiar with God, familiar with His Word, to where we just lose the richness of what He's trying to do and the relationship aspect. You know, I mentioned to you guys that I've started cycling, riding bikes, and so I have a road bike, and when I first started out on the path that I was riding, I was very aware of my surroundings. I was very aware because even in Gainesville, which I'm sure you guys have it as well, maybe you don't, but they have bike lanes now. And so you can just ride your, as long as you're in your bike lane, you should be safe. Sometimes cars veer off into that. But as I was riding and I started out, I was very aware of every obstacle that was there. I had to look, okay, here's a manhole cover right there. I've got to miss that. I know that when I'm going down this one hill, I'm cooking it at about 35 miles an hour. as I'm going down this one hill, and I'm going there, and I'm saying, there's a section here where I'm going to veer off. I'm not going to stay on the bike path. I'm going to veer off into the cars lane because I know that there's a lot of bumps there. And as I'm heading down this hill, and I'm cruising, and I'm praying, believe me, at 35 miles an hour, I'm sitting there thinking, oh, baby, we're moving it now. And so I'm praying. And so everything I know at the path as I ride, I know where the limb is hanging down. I know at different things like that. Now that I've been doing the same route for a couple of months, it's old now. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, I knew, okay, is the one come up? Now I'm so familiar with it. I can tell you where every manhole is. Every manhole cover is there. I know where the bumps are. I know that, and my goal is in riding is I don't ever want to become familiar with that. Now, I know there are different things and obstacles that can come out. You know, we have deer, so they can come running out from the woods and different things along those lines, cutting across traffic and some unexpected things like that. But it's just very rare. But it's as I'm riding, I can already, 3 months into it, I can already say, I'm pretty familiar with the path now. And so many times, that's what can happen in our relationship with God. We start out, we're excited, we're reading His Word. It's just like, wow, you know, this is fantastic, this is amazing, this is incredible. And then, you know, 3 months, 6 months, and then if you get into some of us, 3 years, 10 years, I've been saved now for 35 years. 35 years. And it can easily become familiar to me. I've read a lot. I know a lot. Knowledge is a wonderful thing, and it's a gift from God. But if it puffs up, it doesn't have its effect. And so Christianity can easily become just a mere, okay, yeah, the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I know a lot about the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I studied the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and that's what I don't want it to happen. And that's why I'm praying that this weekend, when you're here, that God just stirs up in us. Breaks up the fallow ground, just gets the soil ready as the seed is being sown. Because even just for us as Christians who have been saved a long time, you know, we can read the Bible and miss God. I mean, think about it. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they had everything pointing to the Messiah. And He's standing right there in front of them, and they couldn't even recognize Him. And I don't ever want to become like that with God. And His Word. I don't ever want the Bible to become something to me to where God is depersonalized in it. Mm-hmm. And God's not real. In thinking about this and in looking at this issue of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there was a couple of guys who, they wrote a book. It's called Who's Afraid of the Holy Spirit? And they are pastors and writers that would probably be cessationists in their view, but they wrote a book in defense of, no, we believe in the Holy Spirit, but maybe not certain aspects of the Holy Spirit. And so he wrote something that I thought was very interesting. He said this, he goes, although charismatics have sometimes given a higher priority to experience than to relationship, rationalistic evangelicals have just as frequently given a higher priority to knowledge rather than relationship. The emphasis on knowledge over relationships can produce in us a Bible-olatry, he calls it. The net effect of such Bible-olatry is a depersonalization of God. Eventually, we no longer relate to Him. God becomes the object of our investigation rather than the Lord of whom we are subject. The vitality of our religion gets sucked out as God gets dissected and trisected, our stance changes from I trust in to I believe that. You see, that's what knowledge can do. That's what, and we want relationship. We want knowledge. We want to study God's Word. But in the midst of studying of God's Word, it should make us bow down and worship the God who is alive. It doesn't come in and make it something that's depersonalization of God. And just like, Yeah, that's nice. Because when we study God's Word, we are dissecting it. We are trisecting it, as He says. But it We don't want the religion in the midst of it to get sucked out. We don't want the relationship to get sucked out, and it just becomes just a, it just becomes mere knowledge. And that is what's happening so much in our culture today from that, this depersonalization of a relationship with God. And that's where I believe the Holy Spirit comes. And as He, as Jesus said last night, and as we looked at last night, Jesus says, hey, I'm going away. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to give you another helper, one who's going to come alongside you and encourage you. And then Jesus in John chapter 16, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. As Jesus starts in verse 7, He again is talking about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is going to do. And basically, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit, how He does two things. How He convicts the world and how He convicts us as believers. The Holy Spirit is there to help purify us. And so in Mark chapter 16, starting in verse, or John chapter 16, starting in verse 7, Jesus says this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world of concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in Me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see Me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. For I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you." Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your Word, God, which is true. And Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that You would help us, Lord God, to cultivate our relationship with You through the Holy Spirit. Lord, we see, God, that He's going to glorify You. He's going to point us to You. And Lord, we're grateful for that. And so, Lord, I thank You and pray, God, that You would come and open up the words of this, quicken it to our hearts, God, so that we, Lord, may be freshly empowered for the service that You've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Leon Morris, in his commentary on John, he says this, "This is the one place in Scripture where the Spirit is spoken of as performing a work in the world. There are many, the many other references speak of what He will do in believers." This is the one place where Jesus comes and He tells us what the Spirit of God is going to do. The Spirit of God who now dwells inside of all believers because of Christ's resurrection is going to come and He's going to convict the world of sin. He will convict the world and expose the world's guilt and lead them and call them to repentance. That's what He did with each of us. But the Holy Spirit will come and He will act as a prosecutor. He is going to bring about conviction in the world as they are being prosecuted by God Himself to expose their sin. And He says it's going to happen in three areas. The world is, He's going to come and He's going to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. In regard to sin, the Holy Spirit is going to show the world that they're guilty before God. And in some cases, He's going to awaken their conscience, their guilty conscience, and lead them to repentance. There will be a genuine sorrow on behalf of the world, and they will run to Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's what happened to each of us here as Tom shared his testimony just briefly right here, as he was there counting the cost. You think Tom came about that conviction on his own? As the Holy Spirit there convicting Tom, saying, hey, count it, buddy. You're going to lose your family. You could possibly lose your friends. You're going to lose all of this. You better count the cost. But the convicting power of the Holy Spirit was so much that he couldn't resist it. The world was not enough to keep him there. The Savior was much more beautiful than the world ever had to offer. And that was the Holy Spirit at work. In regards to righteousness, the Holy Spirit will show people that righteousness is not the good works of righteousness, deeds that they think will save them. But it is a comparison to Jesus Christ Himself. Righteousness before God depends not on their efforts or our efforts. It depends on what God has done for us. The Holy Spirit is going to show us that, no, your righteousness is not going to help you here. You're not going to be able to save yourself through all your good deeds. Your righteousness, the Bible says, is nothing but filthy rags before God. Your only hope when it comes to righteousness is to fall on the finished work of Jesus Christ and His righteousness, and that will save you. In regards to judgment, it says, because the ruler of this world is judged. The good news is that Satan has been defeated. Amen? Satan has no hold on us any longer. Satan has been defeated. He is, as the Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. This is what God has done. The Holy Spirit comes and he moves. William Hendrickson says this, it has become evident that through the preaching of the gospel, the Holy Spirit helps the church. And that he does this by convicting the world with respect to its own sin of not believing in Christ, with respect to the righteousness of Christ, who by his going to the Father is fully vindicated, and with respect to the judgment of God pronounced on the prince of this world. This is what the Holy Spirit has done. This is by Jesus going to his Father. It's good that he goes, he says, because I'm going to be able to send you the Holy Spirit. And he's going to come, and the Holy Spirit is going to come, and he is going to convict the world of sin, of judgment, and of righteousness. Now, what this should do for us as believers, it should give us great confidence and faith in evangelism. Because we know, when we go out into the world, when we're in our jobs, we're in our schools, wherever we are, at a restaurant, and God, we begin to share our faith, guess what? We know that the Holy Spirit is going to be at work. Amen. He's going to be working in that. It's not you and I who saved. You and I don't have to worry about bringing about the conviction of it in somebody. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He's going to do that. We just need to share the good news of Jesus Christ and let the Spirit of God begin to work and bring conviction. They may not fall out their knees as you're at the restaurant sharing with your waitress or you're sharing with a friend. They may not drop to their knees at that moment, but I guarantee you that the Holy Spirit is going to drop a seed in their heart and there's going to be a sense of conviction. They're going to be, man, let me think about that. So many different times we never know how God can use a conversation, how God can use a prayer, how God can use a statement, how the Holy Spirit, I mean, just some of the wildest testimonies I hear sometimes of people just coming to faith in Christ. You know, just walking along one day, and all of a sudden, whether they had been in a meeting or somebody had shared their faith with them, one day they're just walking along, and they would just come up and tell you, and say, all I know is one day, it hit me. I was convicted. I knew I was a sinner. I knew that there was something that had to be different about me. And so for me, what it does for me is it gives me great faith and great confidence knowing that I don't have to bring about the conviction. All I've got to do is just share the gospel with individuals and let the Holy Spirit do His work. The Holy Spirit will convict the world and He will bring them to repentance. And so for me, that just empowers me to go out and to share my faith even more. And I love it. I love going out. I love being around people. I don't know if I mentioned to you guys or not when I was here back in February, but
I officiate high school sports. So I'm official of a Florida High School Athletic Association approved for, I've done basketball for 8 years, girls softball for 7 years, and now I'm in my third year of girls volleyball. And so one of the main reasons why I did it is because as a pastor, I'm around a bunch of Christian people all the time. And that's okay. I love the people in Abundant Grace. But as my kids got older, and I enjoy sports, that's another reason why I did it as well. I wanted to stay active and involved with it, so I started officiating high school sports and just love it. But one of the main reasons why I do it is because I'm around a bunch of unbelievers. I mean, I am around homosexuals, lesbians, and just flat-out heathen. And that's a great place to be, man, if you're a Christian. I love it, man. I love seeing their faces when they come up and they find out I'm a pastor. I mean, it's like, you're what? I'm a pastor. You're what? I'm a pastor. You know, and so I've been able to interact with, well, I've probably interacted with more lesbians and homosexuals than I have in my entire lifetime. And it's a wonderful thing, and I've enjoyed it. And there was an occasion where I had a volleyball match with a woman that has had a same-sex partner for a long time. And we had a game together, and we had known each other for, we've known each other from softball, and we're doing volleyball together now, and different things like that. So I've known her for about, you know, 3-4 years. And we've had just different conversations, just little snippets along the way. But this one particular night, we were we had a game together, and it was in a long distance. It was in another city, about half an hour away. And so I kind of knew that, okay, this is going to be conversation that we're going to probably be riding together in the car to the location, and then we may grab something after the game where you grab something to eat. So I told Kay, I said, hey, look, honey, I'm going out with this person, and we're probably going to ride together. We're probably going to go out to grab something to eat afterwards, and, you know, don't worry about it. She knows this woman anyway, and she knows that she's a lesbian. I said, she's not attracted to me, so you don't have to worry about it. It's okay. And so as we went out, and so I went out with her, and we drove and did our routine, went to that, and then we went to grab something to eat. We're sitting at Chipotle together. Y'all know what Chipotle is, y'all? Okay. Minneota doesn't have one. I know that for sure. You got to go to Marshall for that. But not even Marshall? Oh, wow. Okay. Okay, well, it's kind of like a Mexican restaurant. Okay. Fast food. So Chipotle, so we were in there eating, and so as we're sitting down and we're getting something to eat, I just said, hey, would you mind if I pray over a meal? She's like, no, go ahead. And, you know, and so I just asked God to bless our food. And then, so we're just eating, we're talking. And then I look at her and I said, hey, you know, tell me, what do you think about me? And man, she got this big eyes. She's just like, she goes, I don't know what to think about you. And I said, well, what do you mean? She says, you confuse me. You're like none I've ever known. And so then we get into this whole thing about me being a pastor / Christian. She raised in the church, rejected Christianity. Me being a pastor, loving her, not showing her any difference of the 4+ years that we've known each other now, even the longer. And she's just like, you confuse me in a good way. I mean, it was all good. And so she just begins to go through. And so she just started to unload on me. And it, all about her life and her past and her struggles. And she's sitting there. She's going after me. And she said, are you going to tell me that God is going to send me to hell because I'm a lesbian? I looked at her and said, no. He's not going to send you to hell because you're a lesbian. He's going to send you to hell because you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, if I had an adulterer sitting around me, say, you're going to tell me God's going to send me to hell because I'm a habitual adulterer? I'm not going to sit there and say, yeah, that's why he's going to. No, because you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not looking to change someone's behavior. I'm not looking for a lesbian to become somebody who's heterosexual now. I want somebody who's changed by the power of God and let the Holy Spirit convict them and change their life. And old things pass away and all things become new. And they fall in love with Jesus. And all of a sudden, all these things of all their past, they just slowly break away. And God transforms them and makes them whole and makes them new.
Amen.
That's what God does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes in and brings conviction. And when I told her no, I mean, she looked, first she was caught off guard. I'm like, no, he's not going to send you out because you're lesbian. What? She wasn't anticipating that. She's thinking this mean pastor's going to stand up. Yeah, you are going to hell. No. But when I sat down and I broke it down and I talked about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that this is why people go to hell. Not because of things that they do and behaviors. And when I sat down and I began to explain it to her, all of a sudden she began to see it much more clearly. And I would love to tell you that at Chipotle she fell down, repented right then, but that didn't happen. She's still there. But man, that seed was sown. She knows where I am at. And as we still interact to this day, and I was with her last Sunday night with a group of us, as we're preparing for the volleyball season coming up, and just seeing her, going up to her, giving her a big hug, and she hugs me and loves me, and I love her to death, and she's great. And but the truth, you see, I want to be compassionate without compromising.
Amen.
And that's what we need to be, because we've got to believe that the Holy Spirit has the ability to convict. But what's happened so many times is we've lost sight of the Holy Spirit's power and what the Holy Spirit is called to do, that we're afraid even to share the gospel. We think that person can't be saved. I mean, I'm sure you've got people in your life. There's some of you in here that if you went back and told your high school friends that you're saved now, they'd probably look at you like, what? You got saved? Man. Those are the type of people what I call, who would have ever thunk it? Who would have ever thunk you would have got saved, man? That's amazing. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes, he brings conviction in his life, in an individual's life, and he changes them and he transforms them. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, he makes them a new creation. And that word new there in the Greek is kainos, and it just means this. It means something never seen before. It means it's something new. It's not like, oh, he's going to come in and he's going to change you and keep you the same and kind of just dress you up a little bit, kind of like paint the barn and make it a little bit better. No. When God comes in and transforms you and the Holy Spirit convicts you, you are forever changed. You are like Isaiah. I am a man of unclean lips. And I am with people of unclean lips. And I am covered in sin. And God have mercy on me and let me change and make me something new. Make me into something new.
Amen.
I'd encourage you to look at that passage of Scripture on 2 Corinthians 5:17 and see what it looks like. You see, when people get saved, and when they get saved by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to notice a difference. There's going to be a change. Because the Holy Spirit's going to bring conviction. But we've got to have faith that the Holy Spirit is at work. And we've got to know in our hearts that part of His responsibility is to convict the world of sin. Amen?
Amen.
And so, man, that should get us excited about sharing our faith. It should get us excited about saying, you know what? God, you're at work. You're going to take these people and you're going to come in and transform them in radical ways. And I've seen God do it over and over and over again. Countless times. I've seen it at Abundant Grace. I've seen Him take people who were drug addicts, people who were from gay lifestyles, and just transform them. And now they're living lives fully for the glory of God and what God has done. And He can do it in Minnesota, Minnesota as well. The Holy Spirit is not bound by where we're at, folks. We just got to share the gospel with Him. And then the second thing is this, what the Holy Spirit does. As Leon Morris says, that that's the only place in Scripture where it talks about what He does in the world. Most of the time now, the Holy Spirit is used to convict us as believers. Not only does He convict us of our sin and lead us to repentance, now as believers, He brings about conviction in our own life. He convicts us. He begins the work of regeneration in us in order to unite us to Christ. And then the Holy Spirit continues His work in our lives to transform us more and more every day into the image of Jesus Christ. And this is the hard part for believers. You see, when we were unsaved, there was no Galatians 5 spirit versus flesh battle going on. It was just all flesh, right? Mm-hmm. And we were just living for the world, doing our own thing, doing what Galatians 5 just talks about. They're just works of the flesh, man. We were living it. But then all of a sudden we get saved. And God transforms us. And now all of a sudden we have a flesh versus spirit battle going on. And who's going to win? And there's this battle that takes place in our lives every day. And the Holy Spirit now is taking us and He's saying, hey, Phil, you can no longer get angry. Phil, don't lie anymore. Phil, come on, bro, speak truth. Phil, be angry and sin not. Phil, do this. You know, and so the Holy Spirit begins to lead us and to guide us and bring about conviction. Now, one of the things I constantly tell Abundant Grace is this, is that one of the things that we need to remember as believers is that conviction is a gift from God. Conviction is a gift from God. Condemnation is from the devil. And we don't want that. But we want conviction. One of the things that I do as a pastor, because there's many times, yes, I am a pastor, but I am, whether I'm listening to a message or whether I'm reading the scriptures, I am trying to be sensitive as I read the scriptures and as I listen to a message on Sunday morning. I normally take the month of July off from speaking at Abundant Grace. It just gives me some planning time, gives me some other things. Everybody's on vacation, different things like that. So I just use it. I'm there working, but I just don't speak. It frees me up. But even when, the previous 3 weeks before that, I've been in church and other guys have spoken. And so whether I'm in church when other guys speak, whether it's guys that we're looking at, some guys are more gifted than others that speak, but it doesn't matter who speaks. My heart is this. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Mm-hmm. Speak to me your word. Bring conviction. Because I don't care what message it is. I don't care how bad the speaker is. There's always something that the Holy Spirit is going to convict me of.
Yeah.
There's always something there that God is going to be at work. Why? Because that's what He does. It could just be the smallest thing. It may be even something that I already knew, but I've forgotten. It could be that all of a sudden I'm listening to Him, and then somebody just says something, you know, maybe the guy speaking just said, you know, man, we got to love our wives more. And it's like, ooh, man, I do need to do that. Or, hey, there's this area where you feel you are harsh here with this individual. Or, hey, Phil, you were short with your son here. And it's those moments of conviction. It is, are we coming on Sunday mornings to receive, to hear God's word as Tom brings it to us? Are we coming and saying, Holy Spirit, open the eyes of my heart to do a work in me. And Lord, let me hear from you. Open as Tom expounds the word of God. Man, do you feel that little prick in your heart? Where you go, instead of saying amen, you say, ouch. Ouch. That hurt. Because at that moment, I call it my ouch moments. When it's just like I'm listening to the guy speaking, the word of God's there, and all of a sudden I go, oh, gosh. You didn't have to bring that up. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He's at work in our life. He's there to convict us. Young person, it's the same way. You know, it's when you and it, you see it, and it says, children obey your parents. You're just like, oh. You know? You know, there's some things in the Bible, scriptures in the Bible, I don't like. Anybody else in here? There's some things I read, I don't like it. I don't like that. This is where it goes wrong with me. It rubs wrong. It goes against me and who I am. I'm like, you know, I don't like what it says there. It's asking too much of me. But you know, I've got to die to that, right? I mean, this is what the Word of God does. And so we look at that. And so the Holy Spirit comes. And now that we are Christians and we have a new and distinct identity in Jesus Christ because of our union with Christ through the Spirit, and then the Spirit, as he is called, the Spirit of holiness, now he begins to produce holiness in us. And so he's going to begin to change us. He's going to sanctify us. He's going to make us more holy. He's going to make us more like Christ more and more every day. Galatians 5, we know we've got the fruit of the Spirit. And he's going to be producing those things in us. Parents, let me encourage you to teach your children the fruits of the Spirit. There's 9 of them. We used to sit around with our kids at the table because every time your kids sin, every time we sin, normally it's a direct result of that. There's a fruit of the Spirit that's lacking. My children, Stephen, why did you slug your brother? Why did you hit him? He made me mad. Well, son, what fruit of the Spirit are you lacking? Well, love. Yeah, okay. Peace. That's a good one. Self-control. You lack self-control, son. Just because somebody says or does something in you doesn't mean that you turn around and slug them. You know, and you can really, all sin, you know, each sin has a corresponding virtue to it, right? So pride is humility, you know, hate is love, those type of things. It has a corresponding virtue. Andrew Murray says in his book on humility, he says, pride is the root of every sin. So therefore, I mean, so you can break it down. Every sin, it eventually comes down to pride. And then, but the corresponding virtue of it is that every virtue that's out there, the corresponding thing is going to be humility from it, being humble in our life. But as our children walk them through the fruit of the Spirit, as they do things in their life, I bet you can identify normally 2 to 3 fruits of the Spirit in their life that they're lacking at that moment, that the Holy Spirit is going to need to help them grow and cultivate those things in our life. And so the Holy Spirit, the good news is that not only is the Holy Spirit going to convict us of sin, but the Holy Spirit is going to empower us to overcome it. Because he's not going to leave us on our own. He's not just going to say, hey, Phil, this is really bad. Man, you shouldn't have done that. So what are you going to do about it, Phil? I don't know. I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps and I'm going to go do my own thing. Nope, that's not what we're looking at. What I want you to do is I want you to trust me to empower you to overcome. Because I can't do this on my own. As I mentioned last night, I can't be the husband that God has called me to be apart from the Holy Spirit. I can't be the father that God's called me to be apart from the Holy Spirit. So not only is the Holy Spirit going to convict me of sin, the good news is he's not going to leave me destitute either. He's going to empower me now to overcome it. Romans 8:13 says this, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." That's where the Holy Spirit comes. I'm not going to try to be moralistic in my life. I don't want to raise moral children. I want to raise godly children. And so that requires me to do something. But in it, the Holy Spirit is going to come. He's going to convict me of sin. And he's going to empower me now to put sin to death in my life. It's the Holy Spirit and me working together, having that sanctification to where we're both at work. And we both are going to accomplish. And the Spirit's going to empower me to help me become more like Jesus and to look more like Jesus. The Holy Spirit, he comes. And while we will never obtain perfection in this life, I'll never be perfect until Christ fully comes back. You will never be perfect until Christ comes back. But the good news is that he's going to come back and we are going to be like him. And that's the goal and the purpose of maturity. It's just to grow in God. And so this week, when you are, as you're here, and I told you last night, let's spend time just listening to the Holy Spirit. Allow him to speak to you. Allow him to convict you. Look, whether it's this weekend or on Sunday mornings, let me encourage you, when you're going into a meeting, man, just pray, Holy Spirit, convict me today. Because that's my heart. That's what I want to do. I want to be convicted. I don't want to be tickled with my ears. I want to be changed. And I know that when the Word of God is opened up and someone's preaching the Word of God, I know that that's God speaking to me. And I want to be ready. I want to listen. And I want to be aware. And I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit for those ouch moments and those other moments where I find His pleasure as well. Because it's not just the Holy Spirit comes and all He's going to do is convict, 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 convict. He's going to be there to encourage as well. He's going to be there to strengthen. He's going to be there to say, hey, Phil, guess what? You did it right. Just like we do our children. I mean, imagine what we would do to our children if all we're doing is just pointing out all their wrongs all the time. I mean, you know, people always ask us, you know, with our children when we're growing up, they said, are you surprised when your kids do things wrong? I said, no. Are you kidding? I'm surprised when they do it right. Because I expect them to do it wrong. They're sinners. And they're going to run around and they're little cute sinners. They're cute, but they're corrupt. You've got to remember that, right? Especially as I'm ready to be a grandfather now. My kids, I'm trying to tell them, come on, kids. And they're cute little babies. But as a pastor, I get all these little kids and I look at them and say, oh, we're dedicating them. I say, oh, isn't she cute? And hold her up like the Lion King. You know, I hold them up. She's cute, but she's corrupt. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. But we don't want just to spend time looking at the bad things of our children. We want to encourage them when they do things right. We would have, you know, we reward our kids when they would do things right, on and on and on. You've done the same thing. But the heartbeat of this weekend is to make sure, let's be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. Let's be aware of the Holy Spirit actively at work in us so that God's glorified. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Lord, as we get ready to go and have fellowship and to eat again, Lord, we just ask that you would let us, Lord, have wonderful fellowship with you to hear, God, of the good things, Lord, that you're showing us, the good things that you're doing in us. And then, Lord, I just pray that you would give us a wonderful afternoon, that you would protect every family, Lord, but that as you have, it looks like you've given us great weather today. Lord, let us enjoy what you have given us for our good pleasure. And so we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.